I mean, listen, we're talking about practice.
Playoffs? What are you talking about? Playoffs?
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
This is KETR's Locker Room, your sports podcast for Northeast Texas. Each week, we look at the biggest headlines in sports and highlight local sports stories. Here's your hosts.
Hello and welcome to KETR's Locker Room. Cooper Welch here with your co-hosts, Jordan Davis and Taylor Phelps. We've also got some very special guests with us today. We've got Dr. Dan Jones, the president of Texas A&M University Commerce, and Taylor Ford, the assistant athletic director for development, if I remember right, for the A&M Commerce Athletic Department. We're going to talk to them on the look at the Lions today, ask them a lot of different questions about pretty much anything related to the Lions, and then we're going to finish off the show with the Rangers. They finally won one last night, and the Cowboys talk a little bit about the running game that they have promised us so much in the offseason and is yet to develop. So first, Dr. Jones, congratulations on the Lions' success. Success across the board. We've got soccer teams 2-1. The men and women's golf teams have top five finishes this year. Men's cross country team won the Vanderbilt meet, which is the first time they've done that since they started competing there. Women got third there. The volleyball team is 8-1. You're adding a softball team, and the football team is 2-0 for the first time since 2001. So a lot of success there. Congratulations on that to you and all your hires. So you've been president of the school since July of 2008, and the school overall has grown pretty quickly as well. We've seen enrollment grow every year by around 1,000, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the music building was constructed in your tenure. The student center is being expanded right now. And then two dorms have also been constructed. So what have you done as a president to bring this successful culture and all this development?
Well, I tell you, this has been a real labor of love, Cooper, because when I got here, this university was just on the launching pad. There were so many great things just on the verge of happening. And so I was incredibly fortunate to come at a very good time in the history of the university. And it's really been a gratifying as well as a humbling experience to be at the helm for these last 5 years, because the university, as you know, we're getting ready to celebrate our 125th anniversary. Tremendous legacy of achievement, of excellence. This university has done so much over more than a century to change the face of an entire region. Mm-hmm. So the things you've been talking about that have happened since I came were really the culmination of more than a century of visioning and imagining and innovating, and we're actually seeing the fruits of our labor now, and it's a tremendously gratifying time. And the athletic program in particular, you know, we've been struggling in athletics now, mm-hmm, for a few years, football team in particular, but new leadership over there with Ryan Ivey, new football coach Colby Carthel. Mm-hmm. Couple of new assistant coaches in volleyball and in soccer, and a new coach in track and field, women's softball coming on board. It's just an exciting time. Things are coming together, and you can just kind of sense it on campus, the vibrance and the excitement. Mm-hmm. And people are proud to be a Lion, and you know, we want to give them lots of reasons to be proud to be a Lion.
Yeah,
I guess what I want to know, Dr. Jones, is I as a basketball player, I know I see you at our games. Taylor, I know, playing football here, saw you at all their games, and you're real supportive of the athletic programs as
Absolutely.
A president, and we love that. But what exactly goes into your involvement in athletics as a president?
Well, you know, I always think of my job as president as being the guy who shows up in the office and turns on the lights, puts on the coffee, makes sure everybody's got pencil and paper. You know, I mean, I'm in a kind of a support role. I'm sort of the first servant of the university. My job is to create an environment where people can be successful and really reach their potential. And in athletics, that's what we've tried to do. We've tried to, first of all, you know, there's the big B word, the budget.
Yes.
We've tried to get the athletic program the resources it needs to be successful. One of the things we did in my second year here, this would have been either 09 or 10, I guess it was 10, no, 09, when we passed our athletic fee referendum. Mm-hmm. It's amazing that in the history of this university, we've never had an athletic fee.
Huh.
We were only one of two schools in the state that had athletics that didn't have an athletic fee.
Wow.
And so it was a real burden to maintain an edge of excellence in the athletic program. So students turned out. They supported it. They wanted a bigger, better athletic program. And, you know, they voted with their checkbooks. And this has been a tremendous boost. We've been able to get up to full scholarship funding in all of our sports. And we've been able to recruit much more aggressively. And, you know, we're becoming a destination university now. People want to come here to be a part of the great things that are going on.
Right.
Well, Dr. Jones, I noticed that, was you at the game, the last previous game in the AT&T Stadium?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
How did that feel to see Commerce finally playing to their potential?
Like, oh, it was incredible. It was incredible. You know, it's kind of funny. Of course, tremendous excitement the entire game, and we're all just on the edge of our seat the whole time, and it was you know, the Lions worked hard for that victory. That was not a rollover team.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people were surprised that they did as well as they did. I'll tell you though, the funny thing is that about 2 minutes before the end of the game, when it actually looked like we were going to win, you know, because we've had a lot of heartbreaking moments over the years. You know, we get a game, we think it's in the bag, and then it slips away from us. Well, in the last 2 minutes of this game, the fans, we were up in the box, and everybody just got quiet. And it's like, don't lose it now. And I was talking to some of the people in the office when we got back, and they said, you know, it's like we'd forgotten how to win as fans, you know. At the time when we should be on our feet screaming and hollering, you know, we're sitting in our seats quietly praying. But it was such an amazing victory. They really played up to their potential, and you know, there are a few bloopers during that game. They got things to work on, but you know, bring on the Buffs.
Yeah, huge game is Saturday.
Yeah, definitely. Well, what do you think your top two priorities have been as president, both for the general student body and then specifically for student athletes?
Well, I think the big thing for the university has been high quality growth.
Okay.
This is you know, Texas is a growing state. We're growing faster than almost every other state in the nation. Yet we're not where we need to be in terms of the percentage of the population that is college educated. So I really believe in the mission of regional universities to provide access and opportunity to students who need a college degree to transform their lives and shape their futures. So for us here at A&M Commerce, that means getting students who are well-qualified, who want to do well, who are motivated, but who might not have the opportunity if not for this university. And that's so important. And if you look at we track all of our admissions data. Those are the students we're getting. You know, each year our average SAT, ACT, rank in class, you know, all the high school GPA, all those things are, you know, it's incremental, but they're inching up. So we're getting good students, and we're getting more students. We kind of leveled off this fall, catching our breath, but we're laying the plans for some robust growth in the future.
Okay.
And in terms of athletics, again, I Division II is where we are, and that's, I really believe in the Division II philosophy, life in the balance. And I think a well-rounded athletic program brings so much to the lives of the student athletes who are here. Yeah, they're here to play, but they're also here to get that degree and graduate and be successful.
As we see two of them right here.
Exactly. Yep, here you go. Yeah. And it's... So that's it's always maintaining that balance, but along with that, you know, a successful athletic program has a ripple effect for the entire university, and you know, when you're winning on the field, when you're winning on the court, on the soccer pitch, wherever it is, students are proud of their school. You know, they're wearing their A&M Commerce gear.
Yeah,
And that translates into student success. That's just not bragging rights for the president, you know, when I meet my fellows at meetings. Although I got to tell you, that's kind of sweet too.
Good. Yeah, that definitely feels good.
But you know, students who are proud of their university are going to work harder. They're going to be more motivated, and they're going to be more successful.
Okay. Well, it's been said to make money in sports, you have to win. And right. to win, you have to make money in sports.
Right.
So, or to spend money, at least.
Spend money.
So how did the Lions break that cycle? Because we've seen success finally in a lot of different areas. I don't know if the budget's gone up that much, at least.
Right. Well, the budget, you know, now that we have the athletic fee, the budget is basically tied to enrollment.
Okay.
So
okay.
When enrollment goes up, the budget increases. But yeah, it hadn't been, you know, it's been significant, but it hadn't been dramatic in terms of the budget increase. I think the main thing is that, again, as part of my job as president is to make sure that we got the right people on the bus mm-hmm. and they're sitting in the right seats.
Yes.
And we had to make some personnel transitions in athletics. And it was, you know, change is hard. You know, what they say is... yeah, I love change. You go first. but we made the tough decisions, and again, we got people who are excited to be part of Lion Athletics. They can see the potential. You look back at the history of this university, all the national championship teams, all the conference championship teams, the NFL players, you know, that got their start here at ET. Mm-hmm. They see that legacy, and they know that we can be there again, mm-hmm. and they want to be part of it. You know, this is the place where people come to make their career, to make their mark, and that kind of excitement and motivation and drive is contagious. It gets all of us kind of working a little bit harder mm-hmm. and out there on the leading edge.
Okay.
Well, I think we can all agree that so far, Ryan Ivey has been a terrific hire at athletic director
yes,
with the
definitely.
Things he's done. And he's brought in some great people, and Coach Carthel, Coach Brewster, mm-hmm. Even Josh Jorgensen is someone new that we have. When you were looking at athletic directors, how did you find Ryan, and what stuck out to you as, hey, this is our guy?
You know, Ryan, that was a national search. We had several very well-qualified candidates. Mm-hmm. Ryan, in fact, Ryan's a young guy. And on paper, he just hadn't had the years in rank that
yes.
a lot of our other candidates had. And that's what made this decision difficult, because we wanted someone who knew what they were doing, mm-hmm. but we also wanted someone who had that drive. And, you know, we involved all the coaches in the process. We had a search committee from throughout the university. So I had a lot of input into making that decision. Mm-hmm. And right before we made our offer, I met with all the coaches, and I said, I'm here to listen. You guys tell me what you think. And we went through all of our finalists, and their unanimous choice was Ryan Ivey. Mm-hmm. And they said, this is the guy we want to work for. And sure enough, Ryan has been the guy. He's he doesn't have the years of experience, but he more than makes up for it in terms of his passion, his organizational abilities, his motivational skills. You know, he's got a gift for bringing out the best in
yes.
people.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to echo what Dr. Jones is saying, is that the youthfulness was, I was on that search committee.
Yeah, that's
so
what I was
going
to ask Taylor for his input here.
To get to know those folks, being involved in that process was really neat for me. But, mm-hmm. You know, his youthfulness on paper at first, it was, you know, he's young and
right.
all these other folks have all this experience. But I think that's kind of helped to re-energize our campus
right.
from an athletic standpoint and from, you know, just the general students. You know, they're out at a block party throwing out T-shirts. And
right.
it's not somebody else throwing out. It's the AD out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's throwing
exactly.
the T-shirts. And he's walking around the stands shaking folks' hands and going to Greek life meetings and things like that. And mm-hmm. so I think his youthfulness is really helping us out. And it was a gamble Dr. Jones and took, but so far it's paying off.
And he's right. very approachable from a student-athlete perspective.
And as a student,
I mean, it doesn't matter. He will talk to you. He wants
right.
to get to know you. And I think that's what people really like about him. And when you like the person you work for, it
right.
makes you work all the more harder. And I think we've really seen that.
Mm-hmm. I think he helped boost commerce morality as well, because I always call him the Bruce Pearl of commerce. Every time you see him, he's shaking somebody's hand. He's like, you going to the game? He's like, he's always energetic. I
right.
always remember the first yeah. time I went in his office to talk to him about the athletic department. He was so pumped up. He was, we're a sleeping giant. We're going to wake up.
And,
I was like,
yeah, and we're starting
like,
to see
wow.
that giant now.
Yeah, we are. We are.
Yeah, let's hope he doesn't go through with the whole Bruce Pearl thing, though.
Yeah,
and show up in the stands, painted chest.
Let's
and all
hope.
That.
Let's hope not.
Yeah. Well, we have to ask you what's next for the athletic department and the school in general, Dr. Jones. What do you think?
Well, I think women's softball that you mentioned is going to be just a huge boost to this campus.
Right.
You know, and it's such a natural. And I was surprised to find out we've never had a softball team here. I mean, you know, we used to have tennis.
Yes.
We dropped it. Mm-hmm. You know, there have been sports that have come and gone. But we've never had women's softball. And here we are, you know, right in the middle of softball country. And this is going to, again, it's going to strengthen our reputation as a destination university. A lot of young ladies, you know, they don't want to be professional, but they grow up playing softball in elementary, middle, high school, you know, mm-hmm. and they got that passion, and
right.
they want to go somewhere where they can play their game.
And just to offer the students something in the spring to
right.
go to, because, I mean, we have track, but as you know, there might only be one meet here.
Right.
A year that people can go to see yeah. them, but softball, there'll be several games here, and really gives people a chance to attend sports in the spring, because in the fall we got a million things
going oh, yeah.
on. I mean,
oh,
we
yeah.
got soccer, volleyball, football, so there's a lot to do then, but in the spring it kind of drops off, and
yeah.
I think that's going to really boost our sports in the spring.
Right.
Yeah.
It's going to get students staying on campus. You know.
Oh, very true.
Oh, yeah, especially you know. If the football team keeps winning like this.
they'll
stay every Saturday.
Yeah.
I mean, we talk, if football wins, I think everybody wins.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I think
yeah.
we can all agree on that.
Including yeah. all the, you know, bars and restaurants in town.
Oh, yeah.
So, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Shout it out.
Well, if students start staying here and staying over the weekends, I know we're going to need more jobs. We're going to need more places for people to stay.
Right.
How do you start bringing that in? Because I know Commerce has struggled a little bit bringing in new jobs or losing Covidian and
right.
other things like that. What's the process that the school can go through to help bring in more jobs and living spaces?
That, you know, that's always kind of a chicken or the egg thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we get the students here. They need jobs. You know, well, where are they? You know,
yeah.
So it is, I mean, it's an incremental kind of process. Mm-hmm. In order to attract retail, you got to have customers. So students are customers, you know, let's face mm-hmm. it. I mean, they come here for an education, but they've got a life outside of the classroom. And, you know, they're at a young and kind of sociable time of life. And
mm-hmm.
I can vaguely remember what it was like to feel that way. And, so, again, it's kind of one step at a time. We get the students here. You know, the Lone Star Eatery has opened since I've been here. The university works closely with the city in terms of trying to coordinate economic development.
Mm-hmm.
We're working on plans to bring some retail down near Whitley Hall, near Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
It's a long-term process, though. Taylor is now a homeowner here in Commerce, so he's doing his bit.
Great. Yes, sir. That's a neat experience. You guys will enjoy that.
Yeah. Yeah. I have to hear that story a little
We're
later.
Not there yet, but we're going to get there one day.
That's, you know, this year there were three new housing starts in Commerce.
Okay.
And all three of them are university employees.
Mm.
Coach Carthel, head of our math department, and another employee all built new houses.
Great.
Ryan Ivey bought a house, you know, so... Slowly but surely.
Those are things you don't know, but when you say that, I mean, it means a lot that they're investing, too, in this community themselves. But I think the question we really want to know with it coming up, and I want to ask both of you, Taylor and Dr. Jones, we had a huge win against Delta State, I think, number
biggest,
25.
The biggest.
Huge win in a while.
The biggest.
But an even bigger game Saturday against West Texas as the number 4 team in the nation.
Right.
What do you think this will do to just not only our school, our athletic program, the community, but just everyone in general if we are to pull off this win?
Well, it would just be monumental. I mean, there's no two ways about it. You know, WT has just been a powerhouse in the conference for years. And when we pull off this win mm-hmm. against them, it's just going to pull Vultus into a whole new dimension.
Oh, yeah.
I want to get Taylor's thoughts, though, on the football side of it.
Because, Taylor, we know you've had a lot of individual success, but also when you were playing here, you know, the teams weren't as good. We just weren't as good as we were, but you had a lot of individual success. What would this mean to you as, like, you know, you're involved in the athletic program, so this is still kind of your involvement, too, but what does it really mean to you?
Absolutely. I mean, I think first off, to answer that question, is look at Alabama and A&M last year.
Yeah.
A&M was irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They beat the big dog. That's Alabama. Well, that's in Division II, essentially, the Lone Star Conference. WT is the Alabama. And so, you know, going in there with some momentum,
mm-hmm.
you knock off the giant, then you are the giant. So I think that's kind of the level that we're on going into this week. Obviously, they're a great team. I mean, WT's been good. They're going through some of their own drama and traffic up there with their, with their situation. But, I mean, looking at our team, we've got a great team. And I know a couple of the guys because they're hangovers from whenever I was there, whether they were freshmen or redshirting. And, and so I have a relationship with some of those guys still. But it's just a new life, a new energy. And so I think, you know, the first win's always the hardest.
Yeah.
And so you said the Delta State was the biggest win. I think it was, but it doesn't happen without the first win.
Yes.
Yeah. And so beating Sol Ross, I think, gives those guys in the locker room something to be excited about. Yeah. It gets the fans going. You know, as the person that deals with our alumni in athletics, and we've got all kinds of folks that are flying. I mean, Dr. Jones is going with us. We're going out to Canyon, and people are calling me at 3 a.m. wanting to book flights and wanting to know where we're at. And so there's a lot of people that are excited. And I think from a player standpoint, that's something that you like to see. You like to go on the road and know people are going. You like to see the stands packed whenever you're, whether you're in home or you're at AT&T Stadium.
Yeah.
So
I
think it's exciting that all of it's kind of coming together. One thing I look at from a former player's perspective is, you know, the university made a big decision, Dr. Jones especially, hiring the strength conditioning coach. And so you throw that in, get some of those guys developed. We have some men now on our football team, and
grown men.
I'm not a
Samoan
stout guy. I didn't skip any weight room sessions, but I haven't filled out, and I'm not using that as an excuse. But what I'm saying is that's where we're going. You know, we've got that in place now. Our team's growing. We've got a heck of a coaching staff, and they got the guys ready to play. So I think this, the excitement, the momentum, if you can just control that, because if you get too excited, you know, it can be the same thing as being too down. So I'm looking forward to the game this week. Our kids play hard. I mean, they we're forcing turnovers. We're playing hard. We're not having stupid penalties. Discipline's there. So I think we've got the right things brewing. But, you know, I think it's important for everyone to know that WT is a great team. And to expect to win, as fans, we should. And we have lost that because we've done poorly in the past. But I think we're starting to figure out how to be good fans. And I mean, I don't know. I mean, this weekend I'm excited about it because I think that we've got a great team. And I think they've got a great team. So we'll see who the better is on Saturday.
It's going to be a game. If Commerce wins this game, it's going to be like college game day there. You don't understand. The football players I have interviewed for the paper, they all pumped for this game. Not only is this a big game for Coach Carthel, but it's a big game for these football players because a lot of people didn't expect them to beat Delta. And let me tell you one thing else. If they beat West Texas, they could beat Midwestern. And we have Midwestern at home. So
let's take it one game at a time.
I'm just saying. If they can beat West Texas and compete with them, then this year it's going to be a whole different Midwestern game as well. Because, you know, we've been they had our number
65-14. Yeah, I think they've already proven it's a whole new year anyway.
Yeah,
I mean,
so
it's already been proven. But still, just the as a fan going to the games and knowing, you know, let's see what happens. We have a chance here. So much more confidence, not only the players but fans and people that are just attending the game. So it's a whole new atmosphere for sure.
And our alums, I mean, this is what happened in the '70s and the '80s, the '90s. They expected to win. Nine and two was not a good year for them. They wanted to win every game. They expected to win every game, and so we struggled, and not just in the past 5 years, but the past 10 years.
Yes.
I mean, pretty much the 2000 decade, we've struggled,
and
so it's hard for them. They kind of turned off because what they remember is East Texas State winning games every week,
like left and right.
And so now that we're back getting to that point, you know, we're not there yet, but we're getting to that point. It gives them a reason to come back, gets them excited, it makes them relate to what we're going through, because they couldn't relate to 1-9, they couldn't relate to 3-7, they don't understand what that's like because they never went through that. So
dealing with alumni, you're getting all kinds of, are there just new alumni just coming out of the woodworks like crazy, or
The thing about our alum base is they're very passionate, and they've stuck together. The problem is they haven't stuck together with us, and we've not really given them a reason to. You know, I'm the first person in the role that deals specifically with athletic alums, trying to get them to support our university. And so we've got different pools of people. J.V. Sykes was one of our coaches back before Coach Hawkins, and he's got the Sykes boys that stay very close. And so they've done things with the university, but we've never given them reason to be a part of what we're doing now. And so now we're back on that track. Same thing with, obviously, Coach Hawkins and his teams. You know, they're very close-knit. Those guys are very close, family-related, and now we're part of that family, and they're part of our family.
Right.
So I think it's just the winning's helping, but those people wanting to be part of the university and us taking them in's been huge for us. And you're right, people are coming out of the woodworks. We meet people all the time there. Kevin Mathis, we got to see him this weekend, and some folks that just have never been talked to. They left the campus as a student athlete, and now they want to be part of what we're doing. So, from an alumni standpoint, it's been great.
Right.
Do you see yourself turning into one of those hardhead alumni now that you're used to play here, now that you're, you know, working for the team you used to play, don't you find yourself being passionate and just being like the other alumni, just be like, hey, we need to win. Let's do what we need to do to win.
Yeah, I do. And I think that I look at it big picture. So whenever I first came to school here, I was dressing in the tea lounge. The old student union was where we ate.
Yeah.
The old cafeteria. And so some of you may not even remember what that was like.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I don't think any of us ate that.
Yeah, yeah, I don't think so.
But I remember getting here, and one of the big key additions was that rec center. Mm-hmm. Well, when you start to get into it and you think about it, the students passed a referendum to pay for that rec center. The students decided that's what was important for them. Mm-hmm. Most of those students didn't get to use it.
Yeah. Right.
So they looked at what's better for us. And so I look at my time playing and my time being involved on campus here was, sure, we went through some struggles, but a lot of good things are going to come down the road, not because of us, but because we were a part of that. Because without that referendum passing with the rec center, that doesn't happen. Maybe it's 5 years later that comes through. Maybe it's another 5 years before the athletic fee comes through. So I think that I'm proud that I was a part of that says, hey, look, let's continue to do what's better for the people to come. And just in the I've been here, what, 6-7 years now? And it's grown. I mean, the sign outside the office here is new. And things like that get people excited about what's going on. So I think I'm excited about being a part of it. I don't look at my time playing as a, you know, of course you want to win more games, but winning college football games isn't easy. Getting a team together, there's a lot of factors. You know, playing basketball.
Winning college anything is not easy at all.
No, that's true.
And so it was a heck of an opportunity for me, but I'm just excited for, you know, for what's to come and for the student-athletes that we have now and the student-athletes that we're going to get. I mean, we're going to continue to recruit great student-athletes. Our coaching staffs are great, and so it's exciting for me as a former player.
Well, can you tell us exactly what your job is? It says here you're assistant director of development in the athletics.
So
what's that mean?
So my actual title is an associate director of development for athletics.
Okay.
I work for Randy Van Deven in the advancement office. My job is to raise money for the athletic department. Mm-hmm. So with that, yes.
Yes.
There's a lot of things that I'm a part of with the athletic department. You know, raising money is an interesting thing. It's a lot of people want to be a part of it, but with the NCAA, there's a whole another rule book there. Oh, so you've got your NCAA rules, your IRS rules, you've got to follow. Yeah. And so it's my job to get those folks right now back engaged. Me and Dr. Jones sat down and we kind of had to look at it and say, what do we need to do? And we need to get people back here on our campus. And so that's what we've done. We've got folks back, gotten them here, and then starting to get them to support our institution. And I think people get fundraising confused with people that go knock on doors and say, hey, we need your money. And that's not what I look at what my job is. It's providing those folks that want to give back an opportunity to do that.
Okay.
A lot of folks come through, whether they were ended up rich or not, they have a passion for what they went through here and they can relate to it, and so they want to help. My job is to go to those folks and give them the avenue to help.
Right.
So whether it's $100 a year or it's $25,000 a year, it's my job to go out and find those folks and teach them the avenues that they can support their institution, they can be proud of it. So, and then it's also our job to, we've got a lot of great folks that have good stories. We need to be telling those stories of some folks. You know, just names off the top of my head of people that our student athletes need to know that Kevin Mathis played at East Texas State, and he was for the Cowboys, and he played for the Falcons, and he's still doing a lot of great things. You know, Wade Wilson played here. He's coaching for the Cowboys now. Like, that's significant things. The person that created Barney created while she was a student here. And her parents went to school here.
Yeah.
I mean, her dad created, he founded Dallas Skyline High School. Like, we have all kinds of stories like that, and he played football here. So I think it's my job to go find these stories, to tell our current student-athletes, to inspire them, so whenever they get out in the world, they come back and feel the same way about our school. But I also think, you know, the money piece is something that people want to be involved in. They want to support it. A&M and Bama, they didn't get all those things that they have because people weren't giving money to them. But people asked. And if we don't ask, we're not going to get it. And so that's, I have the best job in the world, getting to travel around, meet folks, hear their story, and then try to find a way to connect their passion with ways that we can do something on our campus for them.
Well, can you share with us a few of the ways you can do that, like a website you can give to or a phone number, anything like that?
Absolutely. We've started the Lions Athletic Club. That's kind of the booster club for the athletic department. It's on our website. There's different levels you can join at, whatever people are comfortable giving. It's an annual giving program, essentially, is what that is. You can designate it to different sports if you want to help out specifically the basketball program or the softball program or whatever it may be. It's through the Lions Athletic Club. We also have sports-specific clubs for two of our sports. Football's got their own, so they've got their own levels, which they get their own benefits, and same thing with volleyball. And so that's not to say that you can't give to other sports. You can certainly give to other sports, but it's through the Lions Athletic Club. It's all under that big umbrella. And yeah, I mean, we try to work with folks. What our job isn't to tell folks, hey, we need this, you need to pay for it, we need your money. It's here's what we're trying to do. Help us be a part of it. Whatever level you can do, help us be a part of it. So I give out my cell phone to everybody. So if someone's interested in doing something like that, just give me a call and we'll find out what's best for them, what they're comfortable with, and how it can help our programs.
All right.
Okay. I have one more question for both of y'all, because it's been a question that I've really been wondering about. Enrollment has been going up, mm-hmm. and it probably will continue to go up. Do you ever think Commerce can move up to like a Division I level in anything?
That'll be the next president's decision.
And I agree, like you said, Dr. Jones. You know, the D2 philosophy and kind of the things that are going on in D2 right now, I think are good. I think they're good for our university. And I don't look at D2 as being anything worse than D1 or anything
not
better than
all.
Division 3. So, you know, I think we're good where we are, and I'm kind of answering your question for you, George.
No, I'm just wondering, I mean, because I know it's a lot of work.
Like you said, the next president, that could be wild down the road.
I think the biggest thing, to piggyback what Dr. Jones is saying, is that we've got to provide the essentials for our student-athletes here and get them to have a great experience, regardless of the division that we're in right now. Mm-hmm. And then if we want to expand from that, I think that could it happen? Yes, anything could happen. I think we could go up just as fast as we could go down. But
right.
I think that the important thing is that we're providing the essentials to our coaching staff and to mm-hmm. our student athletes while they're here, so they have a positive experience, and then that will tell you if we need to be, you know, moving. That's not obviously my decision, but as a person that raises money and you're looking at what's important and how we're going to get our programs where they need to be, you know, we've got to provide what our teams need to be successful at this level, and then we can maybe look at that in the future. But
right.
We're not there yet, in my opinion.
No, we've got a lot of work, and you know, and I've a couple of the universities in our conference are moving up to D1, mm-hmm. and you know, here's an unsolicited opinion, but I don't think they were ready. You know, I think it's just a bridge too far, but you know, they got their own reasons for doing it, and obviously they made the decision. But I want to build a really solid, successful, competitive D2 program mm-hmm. that has a large fan base and great alumni engagement, and that's our destination at this point.
Right.
And you know, if we can get there, then we can start having some of these other conversations. But I don't see it in the cards in the near future.
Right. And I think that's a surprise to a lot of people. I know in high school, everyone knows that the more students you have, you just automatically go up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But a lot of people aren't aware that in college, it's the school's choice. To
right.
be Division II, to be Division I, FCS or FBS, things like that. So it's very cool to hear you talk about that we chose to be Division II, and that's the mantra of Division II. I chose Division II.
I chose Division II.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Well, that's about going to do it for us in this first segment. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we'll be back to talk some Rangers and some Cowboys football. Cooper Welch here.
I'm Jordan Davis.
And I'm Taylor Phelps.
And we'll be back in just a moment.
From barbecuing and bird watching to walking and working in the garden, public radio listeners enjoy spending time outside. If your company or business can enhance their enjoyment of outdoor activities, you should consider program sponsorships on KETR. For more information, call Sherry at 903-513-9684.
Each week this fall, KETR plays its part in carrying forward a Texas tradition, high school football. Tune in Friday nights at 6 for the Big Friday Night Scoreboard program, where we follow all the important games in our region and bring you up-to-the-minute scores throughout the evening and analysis after the games. And all this without missing a single down of the Commerce Tigers games. The Big Friday Night Scoreboard program is all the high school football you love, all in one place, only on your station.
All right, we are back here on KETR's Locker Room. Cooper Welch, Jordan Davis, and Taylor Phelps. We just had a really good talk with President of A&M Commerce, Dr. Jan Jones, and Associate Director.
Super long title of
Super,
Taylor
yes, Taylor Four.
Former athlete.
The guy that gets money from
alumnus.
From alumni.
Yeah, alumni.
Anyway, we also didn't get to say this earlier, but we want to wish a very speedy recovery to Joshua Jorgensen, the assistant athletic director for external development. He is currently in the hospital. We know that you guys like hearing him come on here. He comes on as often as he can.
Yeah.
And he was planning on being here with Taylor and Dr. Jones, but he's currently in the hospital. I don't know what it is that he's in the hospital for, but we do wish him a very speedy recovery.
He's in the hospital with a giant hand.
Yes. He showed up here last week, and we were like, why are you here?
The trooper that he is.
Yeah, yeah. We were like, we could have rescheduled anything. He's like, no, this is important.
This is fine. I'm like, man, you need to get that checked out.
Yeah, and then he leaves, and now he's in the hospital.
But he should be back. I've heard he's going to be back either tomorrow or the next day.
He'll make a speedy
recovery. Well, speedy recovery, wishes to him, all that good stuff. Anyway, we got about 10 minutes until we need to get out of here, so let's talk Rangers, and as painful as this is going
to
be,
we may not even need 10 minutes to explain.
Let's rip off the Band-Aid. So Rangers finally ended their streak of 7 losses in a row to maintain their 1.5-game lead in the AL wild card. So what do you guys think about that 7-game losing streak and that we're 3-12 in September?
Well, first of all, the win last night, I want to say thank you to Ian Kinsler for starting off with that home run, because finally somebody showed that they could actually hit the ball, and that was a blessing. I remember checking my phone because I'm like, I'm not watching this game. Like, forget this. Yeah. Like, they're not going to score any runs, why am I going to watch?
Yeah.
So I check my phone. It's like Ian Kinsler, home run, first pitch of the game or something
And that was his third home run in 55 games
since
the All-Star.
That's crazy. Wow. And I'm like, thank God, finally. But I'm still like, I'm not watching this game. So apparently I just don't need to watch the game. And,
right.
And we'll keep on
winning. You're the reason
they're losing. But the pitcher last night, who pitched for us?
I don't know.
I don't think I'd heard of them.
Okay.
When I was looking,
it may have been Blackley. I'm not sure.
I don't think it was even Blackley, and I'll get that to you in a minute. But overall, the 7 losses are just ridiculous. It's a tough schedule, and we talked about that also.
Yeah. In August, they played.
But we had been beating those teams.
Right.
And I think that really.
We talked about the bats.
Really hurt us.
We talked about the bats for the Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
The pitching was always solid. It's just the offense that has always been shaky. And some of these games, their offense has just went to sleep. Like, it's ridiculous how bad this team has been playing so far. And they even said on Outside the Lines yesterday, this might be the only team in history of sports to be going through a process where they go through 2 straight seasons where they're supposed to win, lose, and then the next season, scrapping to make the playoffs.
Well, it's a meltdown. That's the thing. It's a complete and utter meltdown.
Yeah, I mean, Ron Washington said, I'm afraid for my job if we don't make the playoffs.
He should be.
Yeah, and he should be. He definitely
really should.
It's not like they weren't ahead or they're coming from behind. They were up.
They were up 2.5
plenty
games.
Of games went, and it's not like they're losing
5-14-3
It's not like they're losing like 5-0
or even 1-0
or like 1-0. They're just not batting. It's like the pitching's there,
yeah,
or the batting's just terrible.
Yeah,
you have to score runs to win a baseball game, but they're not scoring any runs, and that's what's crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
This is oh my God. Like, I was just wondering how y'all was going to react to this, because watching SportsCenter, I went through a season last year where my Red Sox, they just sucked. They was just horrible.
They were awful.
They were awful. Now this year, they're first place. And to see, the Rangers should not be struggling.
No, they
shouldn't. I'm sorry. The Indians or the Royals or the Yankees, in that matter, shouldn't be even close to the Rangers at this point. Mm-hmm. They're giving other teams hope. Like, okay, if they keep losing, we keep winning, we could take their spot.
Yeah.
And Tampa Bay has the other spot locked up.
Pretty much,
so,
yeah.
Cleveland is like on their tails, and Cleveland should be nowhere near the Rangers. Nowhere.
We shouldn't be talking about Kansas City being able to knock the Rangers out of the playoffs.
No. Like, the Royals has just been just as bad as every other team, like, for years.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
And they're like 2.5 games of the Rangers? What?
Yeah.
No.
I think one of the craziest stats I saw just on the whole Tampa Bay series is the other night playing at Tampa Bay. There was only 10,000 people there, and this is a wild card race.
They never
right
get
now
any
for
love.
A playoff spot. They're getting no fans. There was more fans. There was 11 something fans, 11,000 something fans at a New York Rangers hockey
Yeah.
Hockey, mind you, preseason game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Than there was at a wild card race.
Yeah.
Rangers Tampa Bay.
I feel so bad for the Rays. they don't have good fans.
They be winning and they still don't have any fans.
It's sad that they're even good because they're so.
I mean, they made the World Series and they had maybe 20,000 people there.
They still didn't sell out.
They need to move.
They need to move somewhere.
Not in Florida.
They can move to Commerce, Texas. They'll have more
fans. Have
because, I mean, think about both teams in Florida. Miami has no fans.
Well, no,
and that's mostly
that's
due to the ownership.
Yeah.
But Tampa Bay has no fans either. And they think building a new stadium in that city is going to do it. No.
No.
Florida just isn't baseball.
No.
I mean, they both, the Marlins have won
the
World
Series. I
heard
that watching. I'm like, they're going to build a new stadium? I was like, that's ridiculously stupid. There's
and
plenty
they spend
of
all
other
that
towns
money.
Out there. Like, realistically, I started thinking, I'm like, okay, where could they go?
Mm-hmm.
Because there are a lot of baseball teams out there.
Oh, yeah.
I even thought San Antonio.
Yeah, or Montreal that used to have the Expos.
Yeah.
They were loved.
I mean, exactly. There's plenty of other places that they could go and have more than 10,000 fans.
Yeah.
At least more than 10,000 that show up for a wild card race game late in the season.
Yeah.
Hey, at least they're doing better than the Astros. The Astros only had 1,000 people watching their game.
Right. Well, let's stop chasing rabbits real quick because we only got about 5 minutes now.
Yeah.
Give me percentages of a chance that the Rangers make the playoffs and then they get past the wild card one game. Give me chances on both of those.
That they make the playoffs, I say 50-50.
Okay.
I mean, obviously, it's a toss-up right now. They're right in the middle of the race and they're showing some light now, but they've been terrible the last 7 games.
Right.
So the chance that they win the first round of the playoffs, and I mean, I don't know who they'll – do we know who they'll be playing if they make it? It's a wild card? Or
it's the wild card game. They'd be playing,
so they'd be playing
Tampa Bay first.
Tampa Bay probably.
Doesn't look too good.
It doesn't look too good.
It'd be Yu Darvish probably against David Price.
I'm going to give them 60% of a chance that they'll make it past Tampa Bay just because I think they have enough time to get it together.
Mm-hmm.
If they kept playing the way they did now, I'd give them like 10%. But but I'm going to say 50 that they make it, 60 if they make it,
they'll
win that first round.
Okay.
Yeah.
I give them, if it's 50-50 they make it, I still think, I'm sorry to say this, I still think the Rangers are going to fluke some kind of way. Ron Washington's going to lose his job.
Mm.
Cleveland is going to get that last wild card spot because I'm just sorry, their schedule's too easy. It's going to be a catastrophe in Texas.
Right.
I give him, if they do make the wild card, I give him, you say David Price?
David Price against Yu Darvish.
I give him about 40% because David Price is pretty good.
Mm.
But no, I don't see them beating the Rays. And if they do beat the Rays, whoever they play in the next round, I don't see them beating them.
Okay. Well, I'm going to give my percentages. I say, as of today, they have a 60% chance of making it to that wild card game. And I would say they have a 50-50 chance of winning that one game.
Pretty much
playoff.
All it is with the Rangers.
I think we're all like half in right now. We've got one foot in the water. We're like, I don't know. I don't know if I want to go in all the way. Anyway, well, let's move on to the Cowboys just real quickly. We heard all through the offseason, Jason Garrett was like, we're going to run more. We're going to be committed to the run. We're going to be doing more things on the run. And then in the last game against the Chiefs when we lost. We had there was no runs in the last like 12 minutes of the game. 70% of all plays called in the past 2 games have been passing. And part of that obviously is Tony Romo's effectively calling the plays now, and of course he's going to want to pass. I mean,
of course,
what quarterback's going to say no? I'm going to hand off the
ball. But I also think if Romo felt confident that, I mean, let's not kid ourselves here. If Adrian Peterson's in the backfield and we have a tremendous offensive line,
there's no chance.
Then he's going to say, here you go, get me 20 yards, and then I'll throw it in. So so I think it would make it so much easier on Romo if the run game was there. Because right now, they know what's happening. They know every down, we're just going to drop into it, you know, all not prevent defense, but all coverage defense.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so there's nowhere to throw. And Romo's running around for his life. It's the same Cowboys, and it goes back to not having a running game.
Right.
If you do not have a running game,
can't win.
You're not going to win.
Then you're not going to win because it's not a balanced attack. They know what's going to happen.
Mm.
So until they get that, and I think DeMarco Murray is a fine running back. I don't think the running back problem is the problem. I think the offensive game plan, as well as I think our offensive line is just not that good is the problem.
Right. Well, last question before we leave. Do you think Bill Callahan is the person that should be calling the plays, or are we struggling more?
I don't think Jason Garrett should, because I don't think it would be any better. I think that Callahan calls the plays based off what he thinks will work.
Right.
So I think he sees that, well, our offensive line is not really that good, so at this point in the game, I mean, it's late in the game. Like you said, at the end, there's practically no run game because he doesn't have confidence in the run game. And that's just apparent based off of what we've seen.
I don't know why he has confidence in the passing game. You see that pass Dez drop?
Yeah, Dez
but
drops a lot.
At least there's a chance. Is getting there and his hands are on the ball instead of DeMarco Murray, you know, going down the line and getting just hammered.
Yeah,
there.
If nothing else, you're not losing yards when you pass.
You're not.
At least they're not losing yards. And Romo's not throwing near as many interceptions.
I still say they should have kept the fullback. Like, getting rid of a fullback for their offense hurt their running game.
Instead of doing the
instead of investing in the run game and saying, okay, let's get a fullback and let's see if that can help our run game.
They went more tight ends.
We said, let's get more tight ends so that we can pass more. And not to mention, the tight ends they have
are not blockers.
Are not, but Jason Witten is a decent blocker.
Gavin Escobar is not a blocker.
Gavin Escobar might as well be a slot receiver.
He might as well. Yeah. He's terrible.
Well, let's do that, be done for today, and we'll come back on Friday, talk more sports. We got a lot going on. We're going to preview probably,
especially A&M Commerce Sports.
Oh, yeah. We're going to preview that West Texas game. You're probably going to get tired of us talking about the Buffaloes, but make sure to tune in anyway.
If we win, you will not be tired of it.
Oh, no. I bet you if we win, they'll be like, well, I'm tuning in locker room.
They told us we were going to win today. Anyway, not to say anything else so we don't make ourselves look stupid. Cooper Welch.
Jordan Davis.
And Taylor Phelps.
We'll see you guys on Friday. This is KETR's Locker Room.